And again, to we last couple of weeks we've been talking about the doctrine of God and how that it's different in the doctrine of godliness. And you know, there are so many, and I'm not ready to. Sorry, Robbie. I'm supposed to wait on my cue. Of course, he knows how absent-minded I am, and I forget. But, you know, I was thinking there are, and we've discussed this, me and Robbie, and I think Kevin and all of them, but there are so many similarities in the ministry of the body of Christ, the dispensation of grace, that is similar to the little flock and what's going on with the little flock and the new nation. And that Peter and them's a part of, and people can't distinguish out. And I was thinking about the last day, the evil day, and there's a verse that came to my mind, and I wanted to share this with you to show you, and maybe this will tie in with the message of the doctrine of God, but I want you to look in Ephesians, before we read in 1 Timothy, in Ephesians chapter 6, and when people read things like this, and then they read other verses that I'm going to read, immediately they begin to think about the tribulation. They think about, well, see there, the church is going to go through the body of Christ. It's sort of like the church is going through the tribulation. And it's sort of like the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15. And then they go over there to Revelation and say, well, there's the last trump, the seventh trump, so that's when the rapture is going to take place. And they see these similarities. Well, let me tell you something. Although there's similarities, and there are things that you've got to realize, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the head of the body, the Lord, same Lord Jesus Christ, is the lamb and the high priest for the little flock. Same Lord. They're not competing with one another. They're not in competition with one another. They're serving the same God, but they have different ministries. For instance, look in Ephesians chapter 6. And notice what he says there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. In the evil day. Well, look back in chapter 5, he said, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. But the evil day, we're to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand. Well, turn to Proverbs and look in Proverbs 16. And here's where they get you at. Proverbs 16. In Proverbs 16, notice in verse 4. A reference to the Antichrist. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. And they take that and say, see there, that's a reference to the Antichrist. The day of evil is tribulation. Paul said, put on the whole armor that you can stand in the evil day. Church is going through the body of tribulation. You see how they do that? Folks, the evil day that Paul's talking about is in the dispensation of grace, and it has to do with hurtful days, a day of hurt for the body of Christ. And you got to look at the battlefield. Let me give you one more. Turn to Hebrews and take, well, I'll tell you what, yeah, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, verse 1, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days. Well, now, come on, folks, it's been 2,000 years since the book of Hebrews has been wrote. What are he talking about last days? I mean, he said, these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Well, when Jesus Christ was on the earth, was it the last days? Huh? Look over in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Why, John, it's been over 1900 years since he wrote that. Shortly come to pass? Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at what? At hand. It ain't too much of a hand if it's been almost 1900 years. But you see, you have prophecy, you have mystery. We're in the evil day of mystery. Paul is not dealing with prophecy as Hebrews was. When Jesus Christ come on the scene, it was the last days. I stress this to you. Kevin wrote out Daniel's 70th week. 69 weeks of prophecy has been fulfilled. Jesus Christ fulfilled all the prophecy up to the last prophetic scripture when he hung on the tree and he said, I thirst. They gave him vinegar and gall to drink. And he finally said, it's finished. And he dies there. He fulfilled all the prophetic scripture. 69 weeks of it. How many weeks is left? One. And it's a week of 7 years. Do you realize there is only 7 years of prophecy left before the second coming of Christ? I don't care what Van Empe and all them say. They wouldn't know nothing anyway. So they didn't quote the whole Bible. It doesn't matter if you quote it, if you don't rightly divide it, you might well not even know it. There's only 7 years, and when Jesus come on the scene, was it the last days? Absolutely. And they're divided down, and Peter even mentions it. Turn to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. Now they all get there and he said, notice what he said, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's not but 9 o'clock in the morning. When we ain't had time for that. That's basically, he's saying it, seeing it so early, they're not drunk. What? But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out, and the Holy Spirit, in his wisdom, did not let Peter quote the verse, but he added the word of. Why would he do that? Because God knew what he had in mind as a mystery. And Peter says, pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servant, and on days, those days of my spirit. And I'll show, verse 19, show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath. Verse 20, sun shall be turned into darkness before, and the moon into blood before the great notable day of the Lord come. He's talking about the 70th week there. And that's all that's left. But when they talk about at hand, now, but let me go back and show you the contrast. Now, turn to Philippians. Throw a wrench in the whole thing. Look in Philippians. Look in chapter 3. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We know that is the catching away, it's the changing of the body, it's the redemption of the body. He's going to change your vile body, fashion it like unto his glorious body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Or we call that the rapture of the church. Now, I am a premillennialist. I believe the rapture will take place before the tribulation comes. Why? It's a part of the mystery. And when the mystery is complete, then prophecy will take up again. God is not dealing with the nation Israel today. The Israel of God is not over there in the land of Palestine. God's dealing with all men today. All men can be saved. It don't matter who they are, what their nationality is. And God won't bless you if you bless a Jew. No more than if you bless somebody else. There is no Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ. There's neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ. God's saving all men by his grace. God extends grace to every man, woman, boy, or girl. It don't matter if they're black, white, yellow, or yellow. God will save all men that will come to him by faith in Jesus Christ. But look at here what Paul said. So it's a change of the body. Verse chapter 4. Come down with me, and he goes down through there about people being in the same mind. Verse 3, entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Their names is in the book of life. Rejoice. Now watch it. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is what? Now why would Paul say that? And it's been over 1900 years. Because there's nothing that needs to be fulfilled before the Lord to come. He's at hand in every day of grace. He could come at any time. If there's something that has to happen before the body of Christ to get fulfilled, Paul couldn't have said the Lord is at hand. We're not in prophecy times. We're in mystery. And there's a body of faith. Now, Robbie, go ahead and kick it off. Now, you see why I didn't want it all on there. It's just a 40-minute tape. Body of Christ, what is that faith? Now that's my egg, but not a circle, so don't say preacher can't draw a circle. I'm not trying to draw a circle. I'm just making something up here. In this body of truth, there is how many faiths? One faith. Now this body of truth, it's all the truth that God gave to this body. If you have Romans through Philemon, you have the doctrine for the body of Christ. Now, this doctrine is according to godliness. Back in Timothy, We went over this. I'm not going over it much anymore, but notice all the steps. But notice in chapter 3, he talks about godliness. People think godliness has to do with not smoking, drinking, playing cards, going to the movies, and all that. And I'm not condoning that. I'm not telling you that it's all right to do that. But I am telling you that that don't mean you're godly. I know people that do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They do not believe that. And they don't do none of the stuff that I just mentioned. But they're not godly. It has nothing to do with your flesh. Your flesh is not what makes you godly. Now notice back in chapter 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is in accord or according to godliness. This godliness, people today think it gain is godliness, but what is gain for a member of the body of Christ is knowing the doctrine that is in accord with godliness. Look when it has to do with knowing the doctrine of God. Notice what he says back in verse 6, perverse disputing of men occur, verse 5, corrupt minds destitute of the truth. There's the faith. Supposing that gain is godly, from such I withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now I want you to look at this thing. Turn back with me and look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Now you don't go into the house of God. You're already in the house of God, and you'll be in the house of God when you leave this material building behind. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are part of the house of God. I get amused, these people talking about, let's go up to the house of God. Well, I'm already in the house of God. How am I going to go up to the house of God? I'm not part of the house of God. The house of God will be with me back in them chairs in the morning. The house of God will be with me. I'll be in the house of God when I'm retired. Thank God I'm counting 40-some more days. 49 days to be exact. But anyway, house of God. Look what he said. The pillar in the church, ground of truth. Verse 16. Without controversy. In the context. Great is the mystery of what? Godliness. Why, folks, the church, which is his body, is the mystery of godliness today. It's where truth is at. It's the pillar and the ground of truth. It's where God is manifest in the world if people know the doctrine to that church. You can't manifest the Lord of glory in his grace and what he did for people if people don't know the doctrine of God. That's what godliness is. That's what being godly is. It's having a knowledge of the doctrine of God and living in that doctrine that he gave us. I stressed it so much. But anyway, this doctrine, this one faith, you're part of it. You're in here. Everybody that's ever trusted the Lord through for their Savior, they're a part of that building there. They're a part of that new man there. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What is the new creature? It's that creation that God is creating. It's like he laid out Adam, took dust, formed man out of the dust of the ground, and made man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. He opened his eyes, saw the creator. God today is creating the second Adam. What is that second Adam? That second Adam is going to be
a king. He's going to subdue the heavens out there and God's vast creation and multiply and carry on the ministry of God out there in the heavens. Someday, you'll have your inheritance. That's what he's doing. He's creating a new man. And once you're in this new man, you become a new man. That's in you. The old man's dead, the new man. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. That new man that's in you. You're a new man because you're in the new creation. You lose your identity of the old man and you take on the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ and you become one in spirit with Him. You know when God, look back in Genesis chapter, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Notice that verse, I'm going to go back to chapter 1, but we'll go to chapter 2. Now notice what he said in verse 25. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And it's almost like when you read this, his kind was all that was on, one time was on the original earth. And it's like the earth brought forth, was resurrected, and they came forth. He made them, the beasts of the earth. And notice it goes on. Everything creep upon the earth after his kind, God saw that it was good. Now watch it. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, let them. Now, them implies them. Is that more than one? If you say, go get them, are you talking about one person? Let them. But he said, let us make man. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, him, notice him, what? Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. But man didn't do it. Man fell. Now it's like Kevin Wood, you don't know how long before he's fall, but man fell. God today is creating a new Adam. And it's called the body of Christ. And in that body, there's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew, Gentile. All, in fact, hang on to Genesis, turn over to Galatians, and look in Galatians chapter 3. Your identity changed. In Galatians chapter 3. Notice what he says in verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ. Well, that's what shows. I mean, that's his identity. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Turn to Colossians and look in Colossians. And I'm not going to read all the passages, but I do want you to see this thing about your identity. In Colossians, notice in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man in his deeds, have put on the new man. Well, who's the new man you put on? Now, you just read in Galatians, put on Christ Jesus, didn't you? He said there, put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, and that would be according to that God doctrine, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, what's the next word? Where? Well, where denotes a place. It's a position. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, and on and on. Folks, you have the identity of Christ. You're made one with Him. You're in the body of Christ. You're a son of God that God has a part of the creation of God, and you're placed into this body, and you're righteous and you're godliness, because that's where godliness is at, and you know the doctrine of God. You walk in that body, which He says, walk in the Spirit. Look in Romans chapter 8. People say, well, what is walking in? Well, I'm going to show you. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Notice what he says there. I see. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in what? Are you in the flesh? Your old flesh is dead. You have a new life. That life is the Lord Jesus Christ. That life is in Him. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, and now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Well, I want you to take two passages. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies, plural, more than one, are the members of Christ? Just like your hand is a member of your body, your two eyes is a member of your body. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? If you want to study the thing out, that harlot's going to show up in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, and it has to do with the mystery of iniquity. It has to do with that harlot Jezebel. It has to do with the denominational systems of this world, the idolatrous religious system that the God of this world has established to confuse people and blind people from the gospel of Christ. And brother, they're blinded. I don't know how many times you hear people and you tell them how to be saved, and you tell them what Christ did for them, and they'll say, "It's got to be more to it than that." Well, I heard one tell him he believed you had to strive. You believe in Jesus, you trust that, but if you don't strive to live it, He's going to spew you out of His mouth. They get that out of Revelation. I've heard people say, well, that's true, but I just can't get a hold of, and they're blinded by the simplicity of the gospel. They're blinded to that fact because of religion. And they want to go about like Israel did to establish their own righteousness and not submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, where is the righteousness of God? It's in the body of Christ. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and He'll make you righteous. He'll put you in His body. You'll be godly. And when you know the doctrine of that body, you'll live a godly life. You'll live in grace. And it has nothing to do with your flesh. The old flesh just gets in the way. This old flesh bothers us. And Paul said, the things that I would do, I do not. But that I won't do, don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. And there's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And then he goes on, cries out, and he says, who shall deliver me from this old body of death, your flesh? He said, he was persuaded that there was nothing about his flesh that had any goodness in it. Look, and he goes on. He says, there shall members of the harlot, God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? Well, you know what it is? When they join to that group or them places has a name, do they not? And what do they call themselves? Come on, folks. What do they say they are? You go up to people and say, do you ever, you say, well, I'm a whatever. They identify with that denominational system. They are one with that. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. Brother, I'm a Presbyterian. Why do people want to do that? Because that's where their salvation, that's where their heart, that's who they're joined with. They identify with that group. Look what he said. What, know ye not that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. You know what you do? You know, and go on, but look, verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? And which you have of God, you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They're God's. Folks, people today, that fornication in the passage is not physical fornication. Your physical fornication is in chapter 7. Chapter 6, Paul's dealing with a different fornication. What is it? It's being identified, joined to a system and not to the Lord. They take the identity of the system and not the identity of the Lord. Most people don't even know they have His identity. Look over in 2 Corinthians. You know, you can just go on and on, but I really don't have time. Look in chapter 3. Well, I guess I do have time. It's my time. I'll just take my time. Chapter 3. Notice in chapter 3, what is that spirit? Notice what he says. And it's fascinating about this, because you see the same thing happening to people today as it happened to the nation Israel. They were blinded to the fact of how simple it was. And they thought they had to do their own thing. But notice what he says in verse
14, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. They couldn't see Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, their heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty from that death, that corruption, that law that was to be abolished. And folks, you're joined in the Lord, you're one Spirit, and that Spirit is the Lord. You have His identity, just like Eve and Adam had one name. Look back in Genesis. Now notice in Genesis, and I'm gonna just skip over here and turn to Genesis chapter 5, because my time is gone. Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, this is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made He him. Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name what? Well, I thought it was Eve. God called their name Adam. There was Mr. Adam and Mrs. Adam. Why? They're one. They're one in identity. You're one with Christ Jesus. You have His identity. Don't you understand? If you're saved, God sees you as He sees Jesus Christ. How can He find fault in you without finding fault in Jesus Christ? We're one. One in righteousness, godliness. And He gave you one faith, and that faith is that body of truth for the body of Christ in the dispensation of grace, and it's godly truth, it's godliness. And you're in this body, you're in the Spirit. It's a spiritual body. And Paul said in Galatians, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? You walk according to that doctrine, according to the doctrine of God. You walk in the light of grace. You walk in the recognizing that Jesus Christ paid for all your sins. You walk in the knowledge that there is nothing that can condemn you anymore. You walk in the knowledge of the law has been abolished, and God Almighty has justified you, cleansed you, made you righteous. You're His son. You walk in that knowledge today, and there is nothing that can contaminate you or hurt you. And we have a spiritual walk of grace. I heard a guy, I ain't going to say that. We, this doctrine, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm not here to condemn people. I'm not here to run down religion. But you can't, folks, we're so idolatry. I mean, we're so much in idolatry in this country that and the world. We live in what is called, what you'd say, the Bible Belt. Get outside the Bible Belt and you really see what this world is. But you realize for a man, if I came in here and I got up here and I preached
that a man or woman has to be baptized to have forgiveness, that they have to be baptized in water in order to be in the church, and then when they get in the church, then they can have access to the blood of Christ. If I got up here and I preached, saying to you and handed you a wafer, and told you that that wafer would by some miracle thing turn into the body of Christ, and you have to eat it, and you have to drink of that wine, and you take that wine or that juice and you drink that, and that turns into the blood of Christ. And if I preach that to you, if I got up here and told you and preached to you that there's a chance Jesus Christ never rose from the dead, and on, but yet I did it in the name of religion. Do you realize the preachers that don't even believe in the resurrection today? You know what I'd be doing? I would be ungodly. Preachers that do not preach the doctrine of God in this God, that God gave to this body of Christ, if they don't preach it and believe it, folks, they're ungodly, and yet they say ungodliness is wearing shorts. We're messed up. We're not in a pecan pie this world. I mean, it's crazy. There are preachers today that are preaching messages and condemning people because of their looks and their apparel, and they're condemning people for the way they live, and yet they get in the pulpit and they destroy the doctrine of God. They're more ungodly than any member they ever had. Amen, amen, amen. That's my favorite preacher. Hey, everyone tell me about this guy out in Texas. How he was listening to him. His favorite preacher. I said, yeah. What does he preach? Oh, man. I don't know. He's a good preacher. I said, well, what does he preach? Did you listen to him? Yeah, I listened to him. And let me tell you. Well, I can't remember, but it was good. I kid you not. I get fascinated. People say, well, we got a good preacher. I said, yeah. What's his name? I might know him. What's his name? I can't even tell you his name. People are not looking for doctrine. They're looking for style. They're looking to be entertained. Paul talked about him being rude, and his speech was contemptible, and he was rude. He wasn't crude. He wasn't refined. People don't want that today. They want a feel-good message. They want to know how to be a better me. Well, I'll tell you how to be a better you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get into this body of truth here, and you'll be a better you. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Well, I can't read it in 1 Timothy, can I? Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith, love, which is in Christ Jesus. This doctrine is sound, is wholesome, is healthy. Look back in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Again, it's a fight. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Then we fight the good fight of faith.
We embrace that doctrine. We fight. We stand up. We pass it on to others. Paul said in, notice in 2 Timothy, said in verse 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We're to pass it on. We're to teach others. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Chapter 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. We're to pass this on. Verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, tempered, sound in faith, and in charity and patience. That the aged women, likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know what you're to do as a member of the body of Christ? You're to pass this doctrine on. You're to men, you're to teach other men, women, you're to teach the younger women. The age is he's talking about. You can be young and still be older in the Lord than a person that's older than you. But you that are in the body of Christ, you're to teach one another this doctrine. We're to bring, that brings the body into unity. And it saves it from false doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, notice what he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing down, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And the salvation is from verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's this body of truth up here. That's the oneness of this body. That's the gospel of this body. All of this mystery in here that was revealed through this one thing has to do with the gospel of Christ. It has to do with the oneness in that body. It has to do with salvation by grace. All of that's a part of the mystery. He says there, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And the last passage I'm going to read, people today, and I promise you, I'm putting it up, putting my outline up, putting it up. Don't really need it, but putting it up. Yeah, I do. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure healthy, wholesome, sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's the one faith here, that body of truth that was given. They'll turn from that and shall be turned unto fables. We're to preach it. We're to pass it on. George Jones sung a song. Who's going to fill their shoes? He was talking about some of the great singers. Who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to fill your shoes? Who's going to fill my shoes? One of these days, if the Lord don't come, you're going to face death. But I got news for you. Death has no power over you. But we're going to pass out of this life and we're going to go be with the Lord someday. If the Lord don't come, who's going to fill our shoes? Who's going to take our place? Who's going to be here to carry on the work of the Lord? If we don't pass it on, who's going to do it? Each generation gets worse and worse. I hope and pray that you got something out of this. The doctrine of God. And don't be carried about with winds of doctrines. You know how you read your Bible? You look at the light of other scriptures in light of the doctrine that's here. And you won't have no confusion. Thank you for being here. Shake hands with one another.